there anyone that would like to volunteer to do the opening prayer this morning? Sam?
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We just pray, Father, that your hand of blessing would be upon this meeting, that everyone who speaks would be able to do so with clarity and be able to communicate what they desire to communicate, that truth would prevail, and that the decisions that were made would be pleasing in thy sight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You'll join me in the pledges to our United States and Texas flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Okay, let the record reflect that all members of court are present this morning. Commissioners, would entertain a motion to approve our Commissioners Court agenda this morning.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, under County Clerk, Commissioners need a motion to approve the minutes of our regular session dated 1/23/2018. Questions or comments about that agenda? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Under consent, Commissioners, I have no changes on the consent agenda, unless there's some item you'd like to bring forward.
I move on consent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, that brings us to citizens' comment. We'll get to those as we get to items on the agenda. Item number 10, consider and approve the annual purchase of service award pins and corsages for the annual service award ceremony, not to exceed $4,200, to be paid from line item 409-7390.
We do have someone from the employee committee to answer questions if you have them.
Okay. Good morning. We have a motion, Commissioner.
I move.
Second.
Okay.
Any questions or comments, concerns?
Oh, thank you for what you
All
do.
All right, thank you.
Great, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. For item 11, we do have someone signed up to speak. Mr. Yalik.
Good morning. My name is Eric Yalik. I'm from Precinct 3, and I wanted to talk about the state of Justice of the Peace Precinct 4. Today's Golden Hammer goes to James Metz, who is the JP for Precinct 4. It's an important issue because the JP4 court loses over $271,196.90 in comparison to what it should collect if Judge Metz utilized the collection processes of Precinct 3 Justice of the Peace Edie Connolly. Here's what's missing. Number one, Judge Metz does not send collection letters consistently from his JP court within the 30 days of adjudication in violation of the Texas Administrative Code. Number two, Metz does not have a caller from the court who consistently calls within 30 days of adjudication. Number three, Judge Metz basically uses OmniBase as the sole real collection system, while the 30% we pay to Graves Humphrey Stahl gives us nothing. In fact, if you look at the improvement, which was very slight in JP4 from 2016 to 2017, that improvement is actually the same percentage improvement as OmniBase collections across the entire state of Texas during that same two-year time period. The problem with the collection system in JP4 is that it depends upon the use of warrants. Graves Humphrey Stahl does one thing. They send out a collection letter, and then the second thing they do is receive a 30% free fee from Montgomery County. What's interesting about those slight improvements is that they really do not reflect at all anything in terms of efficiency or improvement in Justice of the Peace Precinct 4. Judge Metz has bragged that he's responsible for the use of Graves Humphrey Stahl and NetData in four of the five JP courts. If that's the case, then Judge Metz is responsible for the county losing over $885,000 a year in collection. This corruption has got to stop. I congratulate Judge Metz on receiving the Golden Hammer Award.
Okay. Under item 11, Justice of the Peace Precinct 4, we have a presentation to the court on the state of the Justice Court. Judge.
I've been over here about 15 years now, and I don't come over here often, as you well know. One thing you're going to have to realize, and I think that you'll agree, I've always been truthful with you gentlemen. I've never misled you in any way, never asked for anything that I didn't need. We're going to present a program here to you today that will do away with some of the lies that you just heard and give you the truth about the truth collection numbers, which we've netted Montgomery County over $6 million in less than 36 months. The program didn't cost a penny to the taxpayers of Montgomery County. And I'll let Dallas with GHS and Brian, if you have some stuff that you would like to add, we'd like to present this program with you and appreciate your patience and indulgence for a few minutes. And maybe you can clarify some things. All right?
Great, Judge.
You
thank you.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Dallas Osborne. I'm with Net Data and GHS. Glad to be here, and thank you guys for the opportunity to present to court. Judge Doyle, Commissioners, if it's okay, I'd like to back up just a bit, update the court on Net Data and GHS, kind of who we are, what we offer, kind of how we got to this point in Montgomery County, and certainly run through some collection numbers as well, okay? Net Data is a software company, been in business since 1983. We have applications for every office in the county. We have installations in over 90 counties across the state. By far, our most successful and widely deployed program is our Justice of the Peace case management program. Over 220 courts utilize this program across the state of Texas. A big reason for our growth in the last 10 years was the inception of GHS. GHS is a sister company to Net Data, and what GHS does is delinquent court fines and fees. We saw a need in 2006 to integrate court software with collection vendors. At that time, most courts had a software program and had a collection vendor. Well, those systems didn't talk to each other, so there was a bunch of inefficiencies. Here in Montgomery County, you had an internal collections department and an internal software application. So those are not cheap enterprises. They're both expensive to run. Maintaining and programming a software program, maintaining and running a collection department, cost the taxpayers in Montgomery County a lot of money. So what Net Data and GHS does is it integrates your software and your collections. In 2013, we were approved by this court on the GHS side to do delinquent court fines and fees and software for your courts. Summer of 2014, we began the data conversion and installation of the software for the four courts that utilize Net Data and GHS, so that by January of 2015, the four courts that utilize Net Data and GHS were up and running. So that's kind of the background of how we got here in Montgomery County. So January of 2015 is really when we had all four courts up and going. GHS, again, what does GHS do? It integrates your software and your courts with the collection efforts. And I'll give you a for instance. If I was to get a speeding ticket in Montgomery County, which oddly enough hasn't happened yet, there's an appearance date on that citation, okay? 15 days after the appearance date, I'm going to get a courtesy notice mailed to me. Previous to Net Data GHS, your internal collections department or your justice courts were having to manually process courtesy notices. Under GHS, we automate the courtesy notices and we do it for the court. Save the county a bunch of time, money, stamp, envelope, most importantly, a clerk's time.
At any cost to the county?
At no cost to the county. Keep in mind, Judge Doyle, Commissioners, that case is not delinquent yet. So if that defendant turns around and pays that citation, as a delinquent vendor, I've made no money. It's something we do. It's going to decrease the cost to the court, to the county. It's going to save your clerks a bunch of time, and it will impact your current collection rate. Now, Dallas Osborne, I still don't pay my citation. It's now 61 days after the appearance date. Now, by statute, that case is delinquent. We picked that case up on the 61st day, so clerks didn't have to send us a file. We file the case to Omni on behalf of your courts. We also release the case from Omni when the case is paid. So what Omni does is it puts a hold on that Texas driver's license, so that defendant cannot go renew their license until they clear their case up in Montgomery County. So we automate and we do courtesy note our Omni filings for your courts. Again, previous to NetData GHS, county staff was having to do that. If it's an out-of-state violator, there's a program called the NRVC, the Non-Resident Violator Compact. What that does, 44 states and the District of Columbia participate in that. We initiate that process as well that puts a hold on that defendant's license in their home state until they clear their case up in Montgomery County. We also release it from NRVC. We do the DPS warrant roundup, which is actually going to start in about 2 weeks. Obviously, phone calls, mailers, all of these services are handled by our staff in Sulphur Springs without, again, your clerks here in Montgomery County ever having to send us any information. So those are kind of the promises that we do under NetData and GHS. We've integrated those services. Again, the promises, courtesy notices go out, NRVCs for your out-of-state violators, Omni transmission that puts a hold on that Texas DL, delinquent mailers, phone campaigns. It's a daily electronic transfer of information. The goal, obviously, decrease court case backlog, increase delinquent revenue, and increase collection rates. That's the goal. Give you a quick snap of what we've done as far as the activity since, again, January 2015 through October 2017. We keep tabs on all these services, how many delinquent letters we've mailed, how many phone calls we've made, NRVCs for those non-residents, 1,179 of those. 28,000 courtesy notices have been sent on behalf of Montgomery County. We've referred 38,804 cases to Omni. We've done 215,644 skip traces, trying to find better address information, better contact information for those defendants. Overall, delinquent cases cleared, 23,016 delinquent cases cleared in less than 3 years. What does that mean overall? Total delinquent revenue collected. This is hard dollars to Montgomery County. $6.4 million has been collected in just delinquent revenue since January of 2015 for your courts through NetData and GHS. $6.4 million. Additionally, $3.1 million in non-monetary dispositions, time served, case dismissed, community service, fees waived. $3.1 million additional in collections on non-monetary dispositions. Total delinquent cleared, $9.6 million in monetary and non-monetary from January of 2015 through November of 2017. Very telling numbers. Another way to gauge our success, under NetData GHS, your courts have filed 102,576 cases since January of 2015. Your NetData GHS courts here in Montgomery County have disposed 117,190 cases. Your justice courts utilizing NetData and GHS have disposed 14,614 more cases than they've added. That does not happen by accident. It's because the clerks and the justice courts here in Montgomery County use this system and use it well. So they've disposed more cases than they filed. That'll give you a breakdown of the courts. In that time frame, how many have added, how many have disposed? Judge Mack's court, they disposed 3,500 more cases than they've added. Judge Spike's court, 1,700 more cases than they've added. We do not have Precinct 3. Precinct 4, Judge Metz's court, they've disposed 9,700 more cases than they've added. Precinct 5, Judge Mazden's court, they were the last one to go online, so they missed the warrant roundup. I'm very confident in a year or two their numbers will match the other courts. But what you're seeing is disposition rates exceeding filings, which is very rare, especially in the delinquent world. We did a full data conversion when we brought your courts on. When we inherited the account, 137,154 cases were outstanding in your justice courts. As of November 2017, that number has decreased down to 117,149. 20,005 fewer cases outstanding now than there were when we got the account. Keep in mind, that top number, that 137,154, that number was growing every year. We've been able to stop that growth and are slowly chipping away at those older cases.
Dallas, can you go back to the previous slide?
Boy, you're asking a lot. Let me see here. There we go.
So, cases added, this is for this two-year time period, year and a half?
Yes, January 2015
to October 2017.
Yes, sir.
And so these are new citations, either tickets that are issued, somebody's trying to file a lawsuit against something.
These are criminal filings, not civil. This is from the OCA database. These aren't my numbers. These are OCA's numbers. So, Commissioner Nowak, yeah, these are cases added, basically filings, DPS, sheriff deputies, constable deputies. So adding cases and then disposing the cases is the second
Is it, and I'm just asking, is it typical to see, for example, Precinct 3 having, you know, almost 70,000 cases filed?
It's a busy court.
I mean, that's two or three times more than the rest of the...
That's a busy court.
Some consideration for adding a new court at some point.
Okay, I just, that just jumped out at me, that number.
Yeah, sure.
I know you don't represent them, but...
Yeah, the filings in Judge Conley's court, she's the busiest precinct in the county, it looks like, by a pretty good amount.
One of the busiest in the state.
Yes.
If you look statewide.
That's a lot of cases. Thank you.
Sure. So again, fewer cases outstanding. The summary of the collection stuff, why do these things pop up? 6.4 million delinquent revenue collected, 9.6 in total delinquent cleared, 14,614 more cases disposed than filed, 20,005 fewer cases outstanding since GHS. Keep in mind, Commissioners, Judge Doyle, the initial cost of this software program to Montgomery County, $0. Cost to Montgomery County for your GHS services, including courtesy notices, omni-filing, warrant notices, all those services we do that your collection department previously did, cost to Montgomery County for all of that, $0. Give you an idea of the breakdown of cost savings. For a county your size, I typically license our software per precinct, $250,000 per court. There's an internet records access application, gives defendants the ability to go online, view, and pay their citations online. That's $25,000 per court. We have a program called iTicket that auto-files DPS citations so clerks don't have to manually enter Class Cs. That's $20,000 per court per year. Software maintenance and support, an ongoing $50,000 per year per court. Keep in mind, we trained your folks. I did the data conversion. We installed encryption hardware, all at our cost. That's about $160,500. Overall cost savings to Montgomery County in license fees that we waived under the GHS collection agreement, $2.1 million is what the taxpayers were saved by these four justice courts coming on board with NetData. And they've got a superior software program, and I think your courts here will echo that. So the county has saved a bunch of money. In addition, we've brought in a ton of revenue on the back end. In summary, Judge Mack, Judge Spikes, Judge Masden, Judge Metz, their clerks have done a tremendous job. I'm up here bragging about NetData and GHS and what we do. Really what I'm doing is I'm bragging about your justice courts and their clerks. All we are the tools those folks are using to get these results. Brian Stanley and his staff over in East County, Brandy and Kim up in Judge Mack's court, Anna and Juanita in Judge Spike's court, Evelyn over in Magnolia and her crew. Those folks are absolute professionals. They understand the system, and they use the system very well. I think you see the results speak for themselves. The Commissioner's Court in the fall of 2013 made a great decision in choosing NetData and GHS. Literally saved the county $2.1 million in software fees, and we brought in $6.4 million in delinquent collection revenue in that time frame. So we've saved millions of dollars, dramatically improved your collection rates. It's been a home run for pretty much every party involved.
And we heard a while ago about how much money the county pays NetData. Can you explain that?
Yes, sir. So the way that that works, Judge, that's a great question. By statute, when a case goes delinquent 61 days or later after the appearance date, a 30% fee gets added onto that case. And we treat that just like a court cost in our software. That's paid by the defendant. It's not paid by Montgomery County, okay? That defendant, just like when you're late turning in a library book, there's a fee to your librarian for that fee. It's the same way on the delinquent side. The defendant pays that 30%. So if you see a bill to GHS at the end of the month for an invoice, what that is the county has basically captured our court cost, our PC 30 fee, our 30%. We send an invoice, and they mail us that money back. So that's money paid by the
county. Doesn't come out of the actual fee that we have in the...
Yeah, county still collects 100%.
That's just pass-through.
Yeah.
That's not a lowering of the fine amount. That doesn't come out of the fine amount. The county still gets 100% of all the money that it was entitled to collect per statute. That additional fee, the courts just collect, and then it's a pass-through.
So if they're on a payment plan, or they only pay a portion of that, who gets paid first, the county or GHS?
Oddly enough, like the state gets paid first.
The state gets paid first. By statute, the collection fee is a part of the state fees. So the percentage, if we're on a payment plan and they're only paying a small percentage of that, that's a prorated amount based on the total amount of dollars that are collected.
Yeah, we don't get paid first. So, and again, that's a percentage fee paid by the defendant, not by Montgomery County.
Let's say it costs the county a little misleading.
Correct. Oddly enough, there is one cost that the county has incurred. Last year, your courts that utilized NetData and GHS added imaging software. They decided to start scanning citations. So there's a $5,000 per year fee to use that imaging product per court. That's the only cost you've seen. That's a pass-through. We have a business partner on the imaging side. That's the only cost you've seen from NetData GHS is that imaging maintenance and support fee.
And y'all have approved the use of the technology fund for those fees. That technology fund is a fee-funded program that is not paid by taxpayer dollars, but comes out of the court's collection that is put in a separate account that funds that technology fund.
Phyllis, does Judge Conley's court add a fee for delinquent charges?
It's been a little while since I reviewed that statute, but I believe that we're not allowed to add the fee if we do the collections in-house. It's only if you retain a service outside of the county that
We couldn't even add a fee to pay for our collection.
I believe that's correct.
That is correct. Yeah, if it's an internal collections department, you cannot charge the fee. If you outsource it to a third-party vendor, that's how they get paid.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Any other questions for me, Judge, Commissioners?
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Good presentation.
Well, thank you all. Oh.
You know how hard that I worked to get this to come about, and I want to thank you, Judge Dahl, and you, Commissioner Metter. You were the two that would listen a little bit before when we tried to get this on board. And Mr. Yalick and others want us to switch over to Tyler Technologies.
And you know how I feel about that. This is a little problem that Chambers County is having right now with Tyler Technologies down there. Same thing we've been saying all along. Go Google Tyler Technologies fraud. See what you come
Thank
up
you.
With. All the lawsuits they're involved in. Security and exchange problems. I got to commend you, Commissioner Nowak, because it's about 2 years ago that I want to commend you for focusing on and trying to save the taxpayers' money. You deserve it. The Bible says do not withhold good from where it's due, and you deserve it, sir, because about 2 years ago you noted that we were over $1 million in cost overruns with Tyler Technologies at that time, and I appreciate your stance on that and looking into that. This is a good program, gentlemen. It's worked very well for Montgomery County. These are true numbers here. Check it with the Office of Court Administration. I hadn't asked you for anything, for any of this money, or anything else, just simply to try to do what's right for the people of Precinct 4 and the people of Montgomery County. And you can see that this program has netted about $6 million, way far and above what I told you it would do. I remember calling you, Judge Dahl, and tell you I had about a $500,000 check over here for you. Where do you want to do it? You remember that?
I do.
Joking with you, son?
Mm-hmm.
It's been far, far better than that. Many, many counties use NetData GHS, and there are little or no complaints from them. So I appreciate your time here today. And on a note to you, Mr. Yalick, we have a little deal over in Splendor. It's called the Founders Day. We celebrate the founding of Splendor about every year. And it's my understanding they're going to bring back the Liars Contest this year. And I'd like to invite you to come over and participate in that. Because my money's on you, brother. You're going to take first. So don't be a hater. Come on over to Splendor and have some fun with us.
Great programs, doing a great job for the county. Thank you, Judge, for that presentation. Okay. Item number 12, Sheriff.
Sheriff, well, we're going to defer that, Judge.
Defer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Item 13A, Constable Precinct 2.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
My apologies for not being here 2 weeks ago. I had a personnel problem that I was dealing with at the office. We had a meeting with HR on Monday, and Tuesday I concluded it, and I was not able to show up for Commissioner's Court. I do want to thank you for listening to my captain who came over here with the figures and had all the information that he needed to present to Commissioner's Court, and I thank you for approving the changing him from part-time to full-time. It's very much needed. I come to you today to request the vehicle. I know 2 weeks ago, y'all said something about let one of my guys that signed FMLA use his vehicle. I can't do that. One reason is because he comes to work when he can, and that vehicle is his vehicle to use. So I've talked to Mr. Buckaloo at Buckaloo Chevrolet, who has given us a a great deal on the pickup that we're fixing to turn back in. That was our MAP truck. We trade him out every so many miles, and he's given me, I guess, an outstanding deal, I could say, of $26,025.50. And I'd like to get the court's approval this morning to purchase that vehicle for my new guy.
You say the guy on FMLA is coming to work when he can?
Yes, sir.
What does that mean?
Well, his wife is very sick, and there's times that he cannot come in, or he has to leave to go home to attend to his wife. She's got.
Can we just even
talk about
this? Intermittent FMLA.
That's what we need to say.
It's what?
Intermittent FMLA.
Just generally intermittent FMLA would work, that he would only be off on the time that's required to deal with that illness. And we do have intermittent FMLA in the county. So they come when they can, and when the qualifying reason for FMLA is needed. But it's not consecutive days necessarily.
Is there a likelihood that this individual will be back full time soon?
That's unknown, sir.
Okay. I mean, you could still vehicle share. Just have the vehicle parked at your office. He or she drives their personal vehicle to work, and we just turned down this request last court, and. And also, we have a purchasing agent. His name is Gilbert, and Gilbert would be happy to help you when it goes to purchasing this and possibly looking at, is this the best price that we can get for a used vehicle with that number of miles on it? That's something that his department is happy to help you with.
Well, one thing, a couple of years ago when I got a full-time deputy, I purchased the vehicle out of my seizure money that I had in the deal. I didn't come to Commissioner's Court to get that. And I purchased a used vehicle at that time, like I say, with my seizure money. And I'm coming to court this time to ask for your help to purchase this vehicle for my deputy.
Is this vehicle already equipped?
Excuse me?
Is this vehicle already equipped, striped out, everything?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's equipped and striped out.
Yes, sir.
Ready to go.
It's ready to go.
You got a full-time employee now.
Yes, sir.
That sooner or later we'll have to put him in some kind of county vehicle.
Yes, sir.
So it could mean that we'll have to buy a brand new Tahoe for this guy.
The truck is in great shape. Like I say, it's almost as like it was when we received it. The only thing it's done is the MAP deal, going up and down the highway, helping people out. And when we turn these back in, I'm sure he sells them for like $30-some thousand. And like I say, he has given us a great deal on this truck. Has worked with us onto it. My captain, Mike White, has visited with him also. And this is the price that he could come down to purchase the vehicle.
This new deputy, or the deputy that we now took from part-time to full-time, what will his duties be? And is a truck the most, is that the vehicle that he should be in? I mean, can he do the job of the patrolman in that vehicle?
Can he do a job as a patrolman and not be in a vehicle?
No, in that vehicle, in that truck.
Well, he can,
deputies are in a car.
We have deputies in trucks. I mean, most of the precincts do have people in pickup trucks. I mean, that's
serving
not a,
warrants, he can drive by anything.
And that's what I'm asking. Is he serving warrants? Is he doing traffic? Is he arresting people? I mean, I don't think the trucks are
suited
to put somebody in the back seat of a truck, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, we...
Can you arrest somebody and haul them in the back of that truck?
Excuse me?
If you arrested someone on the street, could you haul them in the back of that truck, in
yes, sir,
back seat of that truck?
Yes, sir, we could.
It's safety to the driver, to the deputy, and to that passenger, safely.
Say again. I'm sorry, I can't hear very
okay.
Good.
If you arrested someone on the street, could you safely transport that guy that you pick up in that truck And the deputy be safe too. Is there a cage in that truck?
Yes, sir. No, there's not a cage in it right now, but we would put a cage in it.
And how are we going to get the cage?
How am I going to get it?
Yeah, who's going to do that?
I'll take care of that.
Well, we gave him an employee. We've got to give him something to drive.
Right. I move on.
I second.
I would also say that you are approving the funding and not necessarily the purchase, and that probably should go the ability to purchase vehicles goes through our purchasing agent.
So
and
your motion, Commissioner,
he's asking
to approve
for
the funding
funds.
for the funding,
how they go about it, get with Gilbert.
So the backup on the agenda has the actual truck he wants to buy as well.
I understand that, but what I'm saying that I would recommend that you approve is the funding for the purchase of a vehicle for this employee.
And have purchasing go through up to $26,025.50 he could spend on a vehicle, and purchasing will make sure
that he can have his
That's
truck.
That's what we just said. I move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Just make sure I understand. Is it to go through the purchasing to get this?
Through purchasing, yes, sir. Yes.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you, Amy.
And the funding source?
Contingency. Okay, the motion passes 4-1, one opposition. Commissioner Nowak. Okay, 14, IT, Mr. Shirley.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Morning, Martin.
Item 14A, please consider and authorize, if appropriate, funding an additional $7,149.17 of salary plus benefits for the remainder of FY 2018, and agree to fund a total of $11,992.15 additional salary plus benefits in future budget years for position 503-5516-1. Lead Business System Coordinator 3, please name a funding source. This is our lead law enforcement individual, IT individual at the SO. They supervise four individuals. In early 2017, that lead individual went to work for Sheriff Rand Henderson. We were fortunate to replace that individual with a qualified individual at $75,000. We've lost that individual to Harris County at quite a difference in that. But we now find ourselves short in trying to fill that position with a qualified position today. That's why we're asking for the additional money.
Well, I don't have a problem approving seven, but the additional, I mean, that's something that needs to be addressed at budget time.
Agreed.
Well,
we're not asking
for additional on top of the 85,000, but the annualized amount for a full year would be the 10,000
for next year.
So I'm trying to let y'all know what your
I think Commissioner.
But we'll bring it to you then.
Next year.
Yeah, we'll handle that.
Sure.
I don't know what we can do, but year to year. But I think
see.
We can approve the seven.
But if you grant this today, you would be funding
year,
a position at that level.
Yeah, we get it.
Do you have a candidate, or you just need?
We do. We do have a candidate. They currently work for the SO.
So you're saying that job is underfunded right now?
Sir?
It's underfunded for the market. Is that what you're telling me?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I move.
You have, you're asking for a funding source. You have $7,869.16 in position 5524 as a variance. You also have $22,100 in a vacant clerk 3 position. If you need to fill this, my suggestion would be you use those dollars in those positions to fund this if the court grants it.
We always sweep those spots to contingency, so we could, Phyllis, could you do that? Could you make that move instead of a sweep, just move those dollars over to this position?
Well, I have another vacant position and a vacant temporary position that we will be filling, and we did reserve some funding that was in excess from promoting the two individuals from Network Operations Assistant Director and the individual that went up. We anticipate that during budget hearings we'll need to consume those dollars. But that'll be a discussion for budget hearing.
Yeah, that would be a later date.
Yes, sir.
So the short answer is yes, we can if that's the direction of the court. I just think you're hearing from Marshall that he has plans for those funds.
Well, but if we use those funds, we're going to come back and redo it, sounds like.
Well, they're just sitting there now. He won't even
be
able to use them until budget hearings. That's October, so.
Yeah.
6-1, half dozen.
Well,
they're going to swept a contingency, and we pay it out of those funds. So what's your recommendation, Phyllis? What would be the easiest for you?
I mean, certainly we can do it either way. If you wanted to fund it out of contingency at the end of the year, those excess funds
would
automatically
anyway.
Fall into your fund balance.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just do that. Everybody good with that?
Mm-hmm.
I'll move a motion in a second.
Second.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Opposed.
Passes 4-1.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay. Elections. Harvey.
Good morning. I'm asking you to consider and approve an order changing the Election Day polling location in voting precinct 35 for the March 6, 2018 primary election.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments?
No, I just want to thank you for working so hard to get this location moved. We're still dealing with post-Harvey issues,
yeah.
And that facility is not available. And also want to thank the City of Oak Ridge North for letting us use their municipal
right.
building. So thanks for what you did.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
And we'll try to promote that through the community so they're aware of the change.
Mm-hmm. 16A, Phyllis.
Before you is a resolution expressing intent to finance expenditures to be incurred. This is something that we are allowed to file whenever we have expenditures related to, in this particular case, it's the road bonds that the voters already authorized. So we're trying to spend funds where we haven't issued those funds yet, but they have been approved by the voters. When we do that, we file this reimbursement, which puts the public on notice that we do intend to reimburse ourselves later when those bonds are issued. We have 3 years to issue from the date of the notice.
So we're just going to pay something out of fund balance and then reimburse ourselves when we sell the next tranche of bonds?
That's correct. And we anticipate issuing within the next 3 years. This is related to a project in Precinct 1 and another couple of projects in Precinct 3.
And I think we need to consider another bond sale pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I'd like to bring in our bond counsel and
yeah.
our investment advisor so
yeah,
we can discuss when.
In the meantime, we can do this.
We have some unspent bond money that's still there. We may need to shuffle.
Should move it over.
From place
one
to place.
One to the other?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm bad out.
We could do that. We also have had some refunding options to look at when we do sell the next round of bonds. But for now, I think this is probably would it be better to do this, Phyllis, or to move bonds from one precinct to another and then just reimburse the precincts?
You can do it either way, Judge.
I'd rather do the general fund and the reimbursement.
That way
you start shifting money
it's
back
all the same.
And forth.
Yeah. Right.
I wouldn't like that.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. So we got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
I move we use general fund with reimbursement
second.
Letters issued. And
I thought we did. Okay. We have a motion with Commissioner Manners, second with Commissioner Nowak. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay. Purchasing. We had someone signed up to speak on item 17. Christine Russell. If you've been here, state your name and
yes.
your topic of discussion, and you have three minutes.
Okay. Gentlemen, my name is Christine Russell. I'm a resident of Wood Forest in Precinct 2. I'm here to talk about the item 17 on the agenda with the Wood Forest Parkway North Bridge. I have two big problems that I really want to bring to court's attention and everybody's attention. This is really frustrating because this bridge has been damaged since May of 2016, and we have the pictures of the damage here. It's been brought up to the county's attention. The sheriff came out and shut everything down so that the engineers could look at everything. And now, apparently, as of January 11th, TxDOT came out and said that it's structurally unsound and y'all had 24 hours to shut the bridge. So it's been shut now since January 12th, and we're now here at February 13th, and there's no contract in place. And again, it's been damaged for over 2 years. Almost 2 years. The problem is that affects almost half of our neighborhood, and I've got a picture here of the precinct map to show 2.5 of the precincts in our mud district are now limited to only one entrance and exit to the neighborhood, and that happens to be the south entrance to Wood Forest Parkway, and that's flooded 3 times in less than 2 years, and we're now coming into the rainy season again. So we're now left, including the retirement community there in Wood Forest, which is Bonterra, with one way in and one way out. And that's flooded so dramatically that even last time in Harvey, the road actually washed away there at the south entrance. I mean, it was fixed pretty quickly, but the asphalt actually lifted and shifted off into the ditch. So, I mean, this is now a big point of concern because we're coming into the rainy season again. And what happens if that floods? We've got half of our neighborhood there that's got one way in and one way out. I'm really disappointed that nothing was done prior to this, and it was just an aesthetic issue, and it would have cost the county less money and been less of a concern. It could have been done at a different time, but now it's apparently a structural issue. It's been closed at least a month, and who knows how much longer it's going to be closed. It's just that it's a big impact to the people who live there in Wood Forest, and it's a new community with over 6,000 residents. So, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Russell.
Judge, Commissioners, she's right. This bridge, do we need to wait and let Gilbert
address this item?
How do we?
The item that, the item that's on the agenda is to take appropriate action to approve granting an exemption to the competitive bid process for repairs to the structural damage at the bridge at Wood Forest as an item necessary to preserve or protect the public health or safety of the residents of the county, and an item necessary because of unforeseen damage to public property. And this is a discretionary exemption that the court can grant so that we can issue a purchase order immediately following this court meeting and get the work started.
This bridge was damaged back in 2016. We have been dealing with FEMA ever since, trying to get FEMA to help us with cost and reimbursement on this bridge. Problem we had with FEMA, we would have to build this bridge just back, just exactly like it was, with those panels, everything like it was, and that is a flawed design. It's not going to stay there. Hurricane Harvey came through, and it caused a slight bit more damage. The bridge is not structurally damaged. We've had an engineer, LJA engineers, watching that bridge every week since May. Now, when TxDOT came through, it looks a whole lot worse than what it actually is, but the problem is some of the approach and the stabilized material under the approach is fluffing away. So TxDOT wanted us to shut the bridge down, so we shut the bridge down. We had to go through these steps to get to here so we can award the contract today and there's a backhoe sitting on top of that bridge today getting ready to start work. So we didn't want to wait 3 or 4 months putting it out for bid, going through that process. We knew we had to do it this way, but we had to get here to do that, and that's where we're at. We'll start work on that bridge immediately.
And I have a cost, if you want the cost.
$411,000.
Yeah, $411,781.50, to be exact.
Sound like a pretty good price. I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried. Good deal. Okay, grants. Mr. Ansley.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Consider and approve the grant application for fiscal year 19 to the Governor's Office in the amount of $123,000, $566.25 for the Skywatch Tower project. No match is required. Please authorize Commissioner Metter as authorized official.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item B, consider and approve fiscal year 19 Veterans Treatment Court grant in the amount of $77,000, $317.50, no match required. Please authorize Commissioner Metter as authorized official.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
The one thing I'd just mention on this one grant, and the same thing will apply to E, that grant, is when the grant dollars go away, because there are certain services are going to be performed in this by licensed personnel,
yes,
there's no guarantee that this court is going to continue to fund that in perpetuity. And I also discussed that with District Attorney Ligon on his grant item, because it is for a person These other ones are for equipment and a little bit different, but there's no promise that the court's going to continue to pay that once the grant dollars go away. Thank you.
Item C. Consider and approve fiscal year 19 traffic monitoring speed trailer project in the amount of $9,977. No match required. Please authorize Commissioner Metter as authorized official.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item D, consider and accept the mental health services grant to Houston Galveston Area Council for juvenile probation in the amount of $14,000. No match required.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item E, consider and approve the fiscal year 19 domestic violence investigator grant application to the governor's office for the district attorney's office in the amount of $73,223.50 with a match of $29,908.20 from the district attorney's budget. Please authorize Commissioner Metter as authorized official.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Okay, we now need to recess our commissioner's court and convene a public hearing in Precinct 1.
I'll take that if you'd like. 19A is to approve a public hearing for the partial revision of Lot 40, Block 1, Timberline Estate, Section 2, to be known as Timberline Estate, Section 2, partial replat number 1. The purpose of this replat is to divide a lot, one lot into two lots. There is no active HOA there, but we've received no objection at this
point. And there are 2-acre lots.
Yes.
Yeah. Do we have anyone here today to address this? I believe we do.
Under item 19.2, the public hearing on the partial revision of Lot 16, 17, 18, Block 2 of Point Aquarius, Section 2, to be known as Point Aquarius replat. The purpose of this replat is actually to combine 3 lots into 2 lots. We have a letter of no objection from the Point Aquarius Homeowners Association.
Anybody here to address this item? I don't believe it is, BD.
And no action is needed on each of these items. The plats aren't quite ready for approval. We'll be submitting them, or the engineer will be sending them out.
No action.
Okay, we'll now adjourn our public hearing and reconvene our commissioner's court session, Precinct 4, Commissioner.
Consider and discuss 242 flyovers relating to the removal of tolls and TxDOT assuming responsibility of both flyovers.
Commissioner, before we, I'm sorry, we had 3 people that signed up to speak about this one. Let's let them speak.
Absolutely,
first.
Absolutely.
Ginger Russell was the first one signed up.
Okay. I didn't want to be first, but I'm a Montgomery County taxpayer who has yet to went over that, to drive over that 242 flyover. And I'm just asking the Commissioner's Court to remove the tolls. The toll road is paid for, and it should be removed. And I'd just like to admonish Judge Doyle in your acceptance of Metz's outrage this morning. You address Yolick eye-to-eye contact and criticize him for standing here sometimes and speaking, but you let people come in here and call other taxpayers liars, and you don't admonish them.
John Wirtz is our next person signed up to speak.
John Wirtz, I live in Precinct 2, and I'm elected chair of GOP Precinct 69. It was recently reported that 242 flyover had been defeased or paid off on January 25th. Wow, I suppose our gasoline taxes have finally kicked in for something useful to which they were intended. The stated promise of bonds like this, as we've always heard before, and have since gotten wise to, is typically that these tolls will be removed when the roadway is paid off. In fact, Plank 211 of the 2016 Republican Party of Texas platform not only calls for no new toll roads, but also the removal of tolls once that debt is settled. But then I read that you, Judge Doyle, said initially that the tolls would stay in place to help pay for maintenance, a TxDOT function. And then a few days later, you changed your story that it was to help folks going from I-45 to 242 East. How do we even know where that money is going to, much less whether or not to a brand-new, week-old stated objective? Sounds like it's just a ploy to get votes of those living on the east side of 45. My precinct, 69, is in Alden Bridge, west of 45, and incorporates an area either on or just off Highway 242 at Green Ridge and to the northwest. These are my constituents and yours too, Commissioner Riley. Many who don't want to fight through Research Forest Drive to get to and from I-45 use that 242 route. They're incensed to have to pay a toll. So are the college kids and high school kids who use that route to get to Lone Star College or College Park High School. So they don't use it, thus cluttering the intersection. Both flyovers together, if I recollect, cost somewhere on the order of $34 million or about $17 million apiece. Since it was reported that the little-used bridges are only bringing in $100,000 a month, it will take almost 14 years to raise enough money to build that flyover section from I-45 North to 242 East. 14 years. This past weekend, my fellow precinct chairs Reagan Reed, Allison Winter, and I acquired 25 signatures to call an emergency meeting of the County Executive Committee next Tuesday at 7:30 in this very room to address a resolution we all signed on to for the removal of the tolls. Similar to the anti-toll road referendum we recently passed, now adopted statewide, we the people seek an end to this endless taxing of we the residents through tolls, or you risk suffering the same fate in this upcoming election as the Woodlands Parkway Extension did, when you, Commissioner Riley, and you, Judge Doyle, both lost your precinct and county, respectively. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Bill O'Sullivan.
Bill O'Sullivan, Precinct 3. I rise on this 249 flyover as well. Asking you just to be a little creative. Yeah, the state of Texas is already saying we should have no more tolls and no more new toll roads. Jim Clark, Commissioner Clark, has pointed out let's remove them. And it was also stated, well, we have to build the east one. Well, if that's the case and you want to have a toll for the east one only, that's fine. Free up the other two. Reach a compromise. You can get this done. This is in your power. So you do away with the tolls heading the two tolls that you have now. And if you want to keep the one on there, but heck, I'd go to TxDOT and say, we got this road to build. And get them to pay for it. And we pay plenty of gas tax money around here. So all you have to do is explore it a little, be creative, and I'm sure you'll come up with something that you can at least get rid of the two tolls that are there now. Thank you.
Okay. Those are the only people that had signed up to speak at this time, and you have to sign up to speak on this agenda item. You can speak at the end of the agenda if you'd like. Okay, Commissioner.
Well, you know, the flyovers are paid for, and I travel that road almost daily. And as I look down and see 242 full of cars and, you know, just a handful of cars coming across the flyovers, I don't feel like they're getting utilized. People don't want to pay the toll. I mean, it's ridiculous. Well, some people say, well, it's only 50 cents. Well, you may be on there 15 seconds. It's actually a great convenience, but and I'm glad they're there. And we do need a third flyover to connect back to the east side. And I understand we have to pay for that, but in looking over the documents that were put into place before I took office, that where we agreed to pay for 100% of that, if we'll go ahead and remove the tolls now, it'll release us from that obligation, and I can go and sit with TxDOT and move forward under their current program where we might come with 20% for that connect and allow TxDOT to pay 80%. I've been working on getting 242 widened from 45 to 1314, and you know, it's much, much needed. They're going to begin construction on the flyover, not flyover, but the overpass grade crossing at 1314 and 242 within mid this year. The widening of 242 will take place shortly after that, which will, we will need that direct connect off of 45 onto 242 in with that project. TxDOT would be willing to work with us, but I need to go and sit and talk with them. But the first thing we need to do is we need to get the tolls removed, which will release us from the obligation in this document that we did back in, I think, 2012. You know, I've been a big advocate of being against toll roads ever since I've been here, and I'm going to continue to be. I think it's a tax that people are already paying taxes, and we're just double taxing them. And I think we need to, you know, we can't take action today, but I just wanted to discuss the possibility of me coming up with a mechanism, go down to TxDOT and talk to them on a mechanism to move forward with what we need, but also take the tolls off the roads. And
have you talked to TxDOT about doing that, about building that third direct connector?
I have mentioned it in passing when we had the meetings, but until I brought it up before the court, I didn't want to go.
I know a lot of the negotiations with TxDOT have not gone very well so far. So if you want to go talk to them, go talk to them.
Just removing the tolls will release us from our obligation with TxDOT. Are you sure about that?
I don't know if that's the case.
Well, I don't know.
Basically,
I can't remember what all was in that pass-through language, but
it's right here.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
BD, do you want to comment on that, please?
I believe you're referring to paragraph 10 of the original pass-through toll agreement. It has language in there relating to maintenance. I do not read that language as merely if the court removes the tolls that it obligates TxDOT to maintain it. I think that would at this point be TxDOT's position. It would require discussion with them, but I do not think that if we unilaterally remove the tolls that it automatically triggers an obligation on TxDOT to maintain the flyovers.
Okay.
Yeah, that was part of what this agreement said, was when we originally did the pass-through program, we got five projects done, was part of that agreement with TxDOT, was that we would build that future direct connect out of future revenues, and that we would maintain that facility. My opinion's never changed. It's been both of those. So.
And I appreciate you putting this on the agenda. Being that I'm the only one sitting up here that actually voted against tolling the 242 flyovers, I stand in favor of having them removed. This very court voted in 2015 to toll those flyovers, which you were one of those voters. I would love to see these removed, and I'm glad that you have come on board in doing so, but I'm not sure that it really has any meaningful impact on TxDOT moving forward with this project or not.
With
so I think it's two separate items, and I'd be fully supportive of anything that we did as a court to remove that toll.
Any other thoughts, Commissioners?
No action required, but I'm going to press forward with TxDOT and come back with some options that we can take some action on.
Okay. Item number two, precinct four.
Okay. Please consider and approve a travel payment requisition for Dorothy Welch in the amount of $80.25 for travel dates from October 4th, 2017 to December 28th, 2017. The request was submitted outside the 60 days completion of travel. It's basically mileage for the senior center to go buy items for the seniors. I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I oppose just because I've done this on other departments when they don't get these reports turned in a timely manner. That's why we have the guidelines in place.
Item passes 4-1. All right, we now need to recess our Commissioner's Court for executive session under Article 551071 and 551074. The court back to order, please. Coming out of executive session, we'll have to, Commissioners need a motion on a resolution in order authorizing engagement of Barker Bots.
Move.
Baker Bots, I'm sorry.
Second.
Yeah, sure. So we have a motion and a second?
Second, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Judge and Commissioner. You mentioned the law firm of Baker Bots, and this is dealing with the lawsuit that was filed against the county back in March of last year involving the prayer practices in Judge Metz's courtroom.
Judge Max.
Max.
I thought that's what I said, not Judge Metz. No, Judge Mack, yeah. Anyway, we got a phone call. That's a federal civil rights case. We got a phone call, I think, a week ago last Friday from an attorney with the law firm of Baker Bots. And a lot of people may not be familiar with Baker Bots, but they're one of the premier law firms in the world. Baker Bots has over 700 lawyers. They've got 14 offices worldwide, and they've handled cases in roughly 150 countries. And they reached out to us because of their interest in this case and this type of case, and are offered to join in with my office as co-counsel in defending this case in federal court. There's no cost to the county. They'd be done pro bono, so the county incurs no cost by using any of the Baker Bots attorneys along with us. The only cost there would be is whatever out-of-pocket cost of litigation, maybe depositions. I don't see this as being a heavy cost case. We're not going to have to go hire medical experts and things like that. And so whatever costs there are, we would incur anyway as we defend the case. So that's the way we presented this today to you, that they're welcome to come on board. We have worked on an agreement with them that we're happy with, and we're here asking the court. We recommend that you approve that.
Good. Great.
Thank you.
A motion and a second. Any other questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. I would entertain a motion on a recommendation to fill our current vacancy on our Civil Service Commission.
Move.
A name.
Oh. I don't have that name with me.
William
Dornbos.
Second.
Okay. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Dornbos, for your service.
Thank you, sir.
And as far as filling the position for our budget office, we're going to check a few references this week, and we'll be making an offer sometime this week. So thank you for our two candidates that came to visit with us today. So, all right. With that, we're at citizens' comment. I do have one individual who signed up to speak on an item not on today's agenda. Is Bob Holden here, Mr. Holden? Mr. Holden, you've been here before. You've heard the little spiel, so I'm not going to go through that again. But
I'd like a moment before I begin, though, to address an issue. I was shot at a lot over a couple of years, but I never saw a cheap shot like I saw this morning, an elected official chastising a citizen of this county without repercussion. I believe there was or is a policy of this court to not permit.
Well, we've been shot at before too, and elected officials are going to get a little bit of a leeway.
But what was the word I was looking for? To chastise someone when neither party, I believe, intended to be disrespectful or to not tell the truth, as they saw it with their research. And it was disparaging. I believe you had a policy against disparaging comments.
An elected official is going to get a little more leeway. And we've been disparaged quite often here. So please continue.
Your that policy is now lifted.
Well,
I have
not
a
lifted.
Handout for everybody.
There's nothing to do with that.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
occurred quite by accident. I'm suggesting that y'all consider this as a policy for the county, and it may, and I will bring it up to the state. My son-in-law, who's a plumber, reminded me that there were people in their late 30s who could not get hired on a contract to work on a federal contract because they were not registered for the draft. Researching it, I was surprised to find not doing so is subject to a felony and punishable by a fine, $250,000, 5 years in prison, or both. So it's still there. It's still in the federal law that to work for the government, I guess they imply the federal government, must be registered for the draft. Now, I realize that this also serves another purpose. We have a problem with E-Verify. And for males, we could employ checking their draft registration to verify their citizenship. Every man served, and every man has a duty to serve. And we have a problem ensuring registration. We have a problem in this country in that today, less than 30% of males can qualify to even get into service. And y'all realize that in the Army alone, 3,000 or more are killed every year in training. You also realize when you go in service, you have to go through seven what we call AIVTs, Advanced Individual Trainings, because you must prove proficiency in several fields. And people get washed out in basic and in these added courses that they're required to take for their particular case. So will we have enough folks to meet
your time has expired, Mr. Holden.
You included my disparaging. Will we have a need, have enough,
no,
enough
sir,
people
your,
to defend
this country? No, sir, your time has expired, Mr. Holden.
And keep combat off our shores.
Thank you for
Thank
your comments,
sir.
All right, is there anyone else that would like to address court this morning?
Hello, my name is Kelly Cook, and I preside in Precinct 1. And I'm going to comment real briefly on the 242 toll road. I hope you'll do the right thing and remove the tolls off of 242. We hear talk about the commitment to TxDOT to continue collecting tolls, but what about the commitment to the voters, the same Republican primary voters that you are seeking support from now? In fact, the Republican Party platform has a strong stance against toll roads and calls for the tolls to be removed once the road is paid for. That is undeniable. Who do these tolls target? Well, there's a high school, a college, hospitals. So it really looks like you're trying to add an additional tax to students and people that are sick or hurt, which is just kind of rude. So anyway, I have also got some petitions here for the, they're in addition to the other petitions I had already brought up here to stop the tolling of 249.
Hand them to the clerk, please.
You are the toll road authority.
All right. Any other comments from court today? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, she's coming up.
Okay.
My name is Sherry Short, and I live in Precinct 4. It is my understanding, Commissioner Clark, that there still has not been a confirmed meeting in time with the mayor of Patton Village to begin addressing the road issues under the interlocal agreement. Also, the last time that Commissioner Clark attempted to power play with TxDOT, I believe, if I remember correctly, it was Clark's meeting with TxDOT that actually delayed the project to widen Highway 105. With so many road and drainage problems in Precinct 4, maybe Commissioner Clark should focus on the obvious problems in Precinct 4 instead of trying to capture the attention and applause of Far West County over tolls.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else? Stucky.
Just have to make sure I get up here and be a heavy hitter for Charlie Riley up here. My name is Linda Stuckey,
and I'm in Precinct 2. I just wanted to tell the court that I'm one of the people from the west side that am in favor of the toll road, okay? And the reason why I'm in favor of the toll road is because we need help in that area now. It's not something that we can wait on. It's an ongoing problem, and we're the people that are driving those roads on a daily basis. So I happen to be one of the people that also am not very fond of paying a toll. I mean, I don't think there is anybody that is fond of paying a toll. However, whenever you can get something accomplished in a faster manner, and they just recently came out with a study of what happened to the people in Grimes County. I know everybody was up in arms about that Grimes County. They fought and said they didn't want a toll road, and so they got their wish, and they don't have a toll road, but now they have a nightmare on their hands with safety and things like that, because they took away the toll, but they also took away the shoulders and all those kinds of things. So I know that y'all have a lot of pressure up here, and you have a lot of opposition from a select group of people. I want you to know that there's just as many people in the other areas that support what y'all do. And we appreciate the tough decisions that y'all have to make, and we ask that you continue to do that.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else that would like to address court today?
You know, I actually didn't come here planning to speak today. I'm Reagan Reed from Precinct 1. Judge, you'll be happy. I don't have anything to say about you today. So, but when I come here and see a citizen's comment and see a citizen, Kelly Cook, get up here to speak, immediately, as soon as she comes up, Commissioner Metter, who is her county commissioner, gets up and walks out of the room. The same thing happened with the last citizen's comment when Mr. Yawlett came up to speak, and this is a pattern over several meetings. And I just felt compelled to come up here and speak because that's my precinct and my commissioner. And when you have a pattern of a county commissioner coming up here and just flagrantly disrespecting citizens who want to come up here and make their concerns known to him, that's not acceptable. It's disrespectful to his constituents, and it's disrespectful to the office. And so I just wanted to voice my concern about that. Thank you.
Anyone else? All right. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.